Last night, my wife Tracy and I, we had the privilege of going out for dinner and to a movie. And we had a couple of young ladies from church come over and look after our kids for a few hours, which was really great. And this morning, obviously while they were there last night, they must have talked about today and what was happening here at church. But something must have got lost in the translation, because my son woke up this morning convinced that he was turning four today. And today was his birthday. So thank you for that. We had a bit of a job convincing him otherwise, that it was the church's birthday and not his own. But the passage we want to have a look at this morning, as we think about the last 10 years and we think about where God has brought us from, and as we think about the years to come and where God might be leading us and where he might be taking us, comes from 1 Kings chapter 8. And if you've got a Bible with you, and I really would encourage you to bring Bibles with you when you come here. And if you don't have one at home, please come and see me afterwards and we'll be able to hook you up with one. But we're going to be having a look at 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to start reading in verse 54. So 1 Kings chapter 8, starting from verse 54. Little words will also be up behind and up in front as well. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us or forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him and to walk in his ways and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations he gave to our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he might uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time." Let's pray, and let's ask that God would open our hearts and open our minds to hear him today. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us and speak to us so clearly. We thank you that you have spoken to us in the person of your Son, that you've told us of your love, of your grace, of your hope, and of your work. We thank you that you continue to speak to us in your word and by your spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you would do that today. As we ponder the years gone by, as we think about the years ahead, may it be your voice that we're hearing. May you guide and direct our celebrations today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this passage that we're looking at today really comes in many ways at the pinnacle of the Old Testament. Now we know that the whole of the Old Testament is ultimately building up towards Jesus. It's building up towards his coming and his work. But as far as the nation of Israel goes, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, this chapter and these verses really are a high point. You see, these verses come as the nation was celebrating the completion of a temple, a place where the presence of God would live. Now, just a few hundred years earlier, this people had been a slave nation. They had been living in Egypt. They were a slave people. They had been there for 400 and something years. They had no hope, no future, nothing to grab a hold of. And yet God had done the most amazing thing. He'd rescued them. He'd led them through the desert. He'd brought them across the Red Sea. He'd given them this land full of plenty. He'd given them a great nation. He'd given them a great king in David. He was giving them another great king, as so it appeared in Solomon. He had given them a fantastic capital city. They had built a palace there for their king. And now, at the pinnacle of all that, they were dedicating a temple to that God. Chapters 5 through 8, there's four whole chapters, are dedicated to the building, the furnishing, and the dedication of this temple. Now, right near the end of that celebration, Solomon stands up and he blesses the people. After he blesses them, he's going to sacrifice some more animals. At the start of chapter 8, it told us that he sacrificed so many animals that they could not be counted. At the end of this chapter, he will sacrifice 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. There's a lot of blood going on there. But before he does that, he stands up and he blesses the people. And that's what we want to think about this morning, that blessing. Because there are some similarities between their celebration that day and our celebration here today as well. There's not quite as much bloodshed here today. Although if we get enough kids on that jumping castle at one time, we could get close. And I would never suggest that our celebration today is of the same magnitude and importance as theirs was. Don't hear me say that. But there are nonetheless some similarities between their celebration then and our celebration today. You see, we both look back. They looked back at their history as a nation. They saw all the things that I mentioned just before. They saw the way that God had brought them into their own land and given them their own nation, given them a king, given them a capital city, given them so many blessings. They looked at that history, but yet they didn't first and foremost see the work of people and what they had done. They saw the work of God. They saw the faithfulness and the power of an amazing God. Look at how Solomon starts this in verse 56. Look at what he says. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. He's saying, bless you, God, because you keep your word. Bless you, God, because you have done the most incredible things. Bless you, God, because you have given us everything that we don't deserve. Now, when we look at those few hundred years of history, we do read about in the Bible the works of a lot of people. Some of them were great. Some of them were amazing. People like Moses and Joshua and David and even Solomon himself. Some of them were downright scoundrels like Samson and people like that. None of them were perfect. And the point is this. God was faithful despite the unfaithfulness of his people. God had done it even when his people had let them down. Now, in a similar way, we look back today. We look back over 10 years. I've only been around for the last 4 of them, minus the last 9 months. But we also look back and we remember the things that God has done. These memory stones, they're just a few of them. But we look back and we see, not first and foremost the work of people, not first and foremost the work of the original 50, or of pastors, or of elders, or of any other leader in the church. But we see the faithfulness of God, who has kept every promise he has ever made, who is powerful beyond what we imagine, who Paul says in Ephesians can do far more than we hope or imagine. We see that God. Now, we have one massive advantage today over Solomon and his people did back then. Because we look back beyond that 10 years and we see the ultimate expression of God's faithfulness given to us in his son Jesus. Given to us that we could have life. And so we celebrate today not just that we have a great church, not just that we have great buildings and great coffee and a nice bicky after church, not just that we have good programs and great looking pastors, but that we have a God who has drawn us to himself in his son Jesus, that has knitted us together in his forever family, who gave us hope when we were hopeless, who gave us life when we wanted nothing but death, who brought us into his kingdom when we wanted to live outside it. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Another similarity between what they were celebrating in Solomon's day and our celebration today, is that we both also look forward. They looked forward to the years ahead. They looked forward to the things that God would do through them and in them. They looked forward to the continuing faithfulness of God, and so they make some prayers, they make some requests of God about that future. Have a look at how Solomon prays from verse 57 on. Think about the things that he's asking for here. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine which I have prayed before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need. Now notice the things that Solomon does not ask for in this prayer. He does not ask for great military power. He does not ask for an abundance of provision for his people in terms of harvest. He doesn't ask for a new gold throne on his temple. He doesn't ask for more wives, although that will come later on. Think of what he does ask for. He says, may God be near us as he was with our fathers. May God draw our hearts to himself so that we can walk in his ways and keep his commandments. May God hear our prayer, and may he give us enough for each day. It is an exceedingly humble and gentle prayer. God, can you be with us? God, can you draw our hearts to yourself? God, can you simply provide the things that we need for each day? And today we want to have our prayers for the future guided by this man and his prayer. Guided by the things that are closest to God's heart. To pray that we would be a people who experience the nearness and the presence of God. To pray that we would be a people whose hearts are drawn to God, that we walk in his ways, that we keep his commandments, that we do the will of God. That God would give us enough for each day. And that he'd keep hearing our prayers. You see, it's good. It's good for us to think about the future. It's good for us to think about the things that God is going to lead us into. The ministries that he would have us do with each other and with the community around us. It's good for us and it's right for us to think about what God would have us do with this land. To think about what God would have us do with the resources that he has given us. But at its heart, at the very start, is this very simple prayer. God, be near to us. God, draw our hearts to yourself. God, listen to our prayer and give us what we need. Because if these things are true, if these things are happening, then it doesn't matter what God calls us to do. It doesn't matter how big it might seem and how impossible it might be. It doesn't matter how trivial it might seem, we will jump to it and we will do it. Because we know the nearness and the presence of God. Because we have hearts that beat after his and long to do what he wants us to do. Because we will have enough to do what God is calling us to do. God, be near to us. God, draw our hearts to yourself. God, fill us with just enough for every day. As we look back, we see the faithfulness of God. As we look forward, we pray for God's blessing on us as his people. But as we just come to a conclusion, I want to actually throw a little bit of a spanner in the works. And I want to ask the question, so what? Why do all this? Why look back at the faithfulness of God? Is it simply so that we can have a party today and eat some good food and jump on a jumping pillow and use Dave on the Dunk Dave tank? That should be out there somewhere. Or is there something more going on? Why is it that we ask for these things for the future? Is it just so that we can have a better church here? Is it just so that we can be happier in our church, have better coffee with better, healthier, low-fat cakes, better looking and more pastors? Is that simply what it's all about? And of course, you know the answer is no, because I've only been speaking for 12 minutes, and that would be too good to be true. Have a look with me at verse 60. This is where Solomon is heading with this looking back and this looking forward. Look at what he says in verse 60. Remember, he's just said, God, you are faithful to all the things you have done. God, would you be near to us? Would you draw our hearts to yourself? Would you give us the things that we need? Look at what he says in verse 60. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. God, would you do all these things? Not so that we are happier, not so that we have a better time, but so that the world may know that you are God and there is no other. You see the vision? Solomon caught a glimpse of what God was on about. Solomon remembered the promises of God right back in Genesis chapter 12 when he spoke to Abraham. What did he say? He said, I will bless you. I'll make your name great. I'll make you a great nation. And Solomon was looking over that great nation as he spoke. And then God had said to Abraham, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And Solomon says, so that the world may know. See, God was on about something bigger than just Israel. Bigger than just their safety, bigger than just their security, bigger than just them having a good time. He was about the world and the world being drawn to himself. And so it would be good for us to remember as we celebrate today, and it's good for us to celebrate. It's good for us to remember the faithfulness of God. It's good for us to pray about the future, but to remember that God has a bigger plan in store. That we celebrate and we remember. We pray for the future so that Ormiston might know. So that the Redlands might know. So that Brisbane might know. So that Australia might know. So that the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. That God has spoken definitively in His Son. That God is drawing all men everywhere to Himself and giving them a new life and a new hope, the forgiveness of sins in the person and the work of Jesus. And so we pray and we ask today, God, fill us so that we would overflow into the streets around us. God, love us so that we might love others. God, give us hope so that we can share that hope with the world in which you've placed us. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we have prayed and we've said and we've sung many times today that you are faithful, and we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you that you have spoken to us. Thank you that your word is clear. And may, Lord, you direct our celebration, our joy, and our party today. May we remember that you have done. May we look forward to the future with hope. But may we keep in mind what you are doing and will continue to do in your Son, Jesus. Use us, we ask, in his name. Amen. These closing words come to us from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.